Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. And welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. I'm glad you're watching, and I'm glad you're here if you're here in person. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll just get right into the message. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I just pray that you bless this message and let everything that's said be from you, Lord, and not my own opinions or my ideas, but just your truth. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our minds to receive what it is you're saying to us and open our hearts, Lord, to receive your truth. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to remember it and to meditate on it like your word says so that we can bring forth fruit, Lord. And we just turn it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you all again for coming out. Last week, if you were here, we talked about a personal relationship with God and how that's what, you know, a lot of people are missing out on. We talked about those kings with Daniel, how they would, you know, always refer to Daniel as your God and your God, and they never took the steps to make God their God. And I used myself as an example last week, you know, how I always knew there was a God. I always believed that there was a creator or an almighty being somewhere. But he was, to me, he was cold and distant and just unapproachable. A superpower, you know, out in space somewhere that was in control of everything. But I didn't believe in a God that loved me. I didn't have a personal God. And I definitely not one that I could talk to or one that even noticed me. And I told you last week that my idea of God was that he was mean and judgmental, and he was watching me somewhere from a distance, and I was fearful of God. I was scared of God because I knew he was keeping a record of all the bad things that I had ever done. And if and when he ever caught up with me, he was going to get me. And, you know, I thought he was going to get me and condemn me and send me to hell because he was against me. But that's just not true. And that's what we talked about last week, was how much God loves us and he's not against us. And I also told you last week that just by getting myself a Bible and putting forth the effort and taking the time to read it, even not knowing anything about the Bible or how to read it or anything, that God started showing me through his word that he wasn't against me, and that he's madly in love with me, and he's madly in love with you too. Like I said, even though I wasn't saved and I didn't have a clue of where to start, once I did get started and started trying to understand God, and for lack of a better word, to give God a chance, you know, he started revealing himself to me, that he's not mean, he's kind, and he's not judgmental, he's forgiving, and he's not distant or unapproachable like I thought he was. You know, he's always close, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And through Jesus Christ, we can approach him anytime for anything. And I told you last week that I had been trying to get to God on my own by just reading the Bible. And I didn't know that the only way to get to God was through Jesus Christ. And we shared those verses last week. And we can see that in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And we read also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So when we come to God, first we have to believe that there is a God, and we have to surrender to Christ to get to him. And then we need to believe that God is not mean, like I used to think, and he's not against us, and he is for us, and that he loves us. The verse we used last week to prove that God loves us was 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So God don't just love us, he is love. And we have to believe that God has good plans for us. And he's not out to get us. We have to trust God. I didn't realize I was wearing this shirt until just then, but we have to trust God. We have to trust Jesus is bridging that gap for us and getting us to God. And we have to have faith in God. And then we have to have faith not only that he exists, but that he's good and he has good plans for us and that he will be good to us. And all those things we can see together in one verse. Hebrews chapter 11, they call that the hall of faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So God's whole plan from the beginning was to be good to us. And he's never been against us. But when sin entered into the world, it didn't change God, but it perverted the way that we see God, the idea that we have in our head of how God sees us. To prove that, when Adam and Eve sinned, they immediately went from walking with God in the garden every day and talking with God to hiding from God because they thought God was against them and God was out to punish them. And that wasn't the case. You know, they had been with God every day, walking and talking with God in the garden. He was good to them. He was their father, and he was their children. But once sin entered in, then their view of God was perverted, and that was handed down to us. And we can see that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. This is after they've both eaten from the forbidden fruit. We'll start off in verse 7, and it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So God didn't change, but their view of God changed. And that's what we have today due to our sin nature. We have a perverted view of God. We think that he is against us, but God never changed. We did. And if you're like I was, and you always feel like God is against you, that is just a lie straight from the enemy. You're being deceived just like Adam and Eve were deceived. Just like I was deceived. That's what Satan wants us to think, is that God is against us. But like I keep saying, God never changed. He still loves you. But because of our sin nature we're born with, now we see God as our enemy until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then, through the Holy Spirit, God opens our eyes to the truth that he never stopped loving us in the first place. And we see a picture of that in Genesis chapter 3, 2. If we go on down to verse 21, and it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." So God wasn't against them. He loved them. And when he saw that they were afraid of him, he didn't condemn them for being afraid. He didn't punish them like they were expecting. He had pity on them, and he killed some animals and made them coats of skins to cover them up so that they wouldn't feel naked in front of him. And that's a picture of what Jesus does for us today. Just like God had to kill those animals to make coats of skins to cover them, he sacrificed his only son, Jesus Christ, to cover our sins. So just like the only way Adam and Eve could cover their nakedness was to allow God to cover them with skins from a sacrifice, the only way we can cover our sin nature is to be clothed in Jesus Christ and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit instead of under the power of our flesh or our sin nature that we're born with. And we can see an example of that in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. It said, instead, what he's talking about, instead of walking in your your sin nature or walking according to your flesh, it says to clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. And not just with our sins to be forgiven, but we can also have his characteristics, his attributes. When we're covered by his blood, we're no longer naked and exposed because of our sin, but we're clothed in him and we're forgiven through the blood of Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, we can have the characteristics of Christ. We can have his attributes and we can live lives that reflect him if we'll walk in that Holy Spirit instead of walking according to our own desires, like it says there in verse 14. Romans 13:14 there says to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're talking about clothing ourselves with his characteristics, and that's what it talks about in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, and there's another demonstration that he loves, he is not against us, he loves us. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. All those things we just read there in verse 12, those are fruit of the Spirit. You know, we can't get those things from our flesh. You know, we're not capable of those on our own with our own strength. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do those things. All we have in our own power, our own sin nature, or on our own power is our sin nature. So we have to have the Holy Spirit in order to live a godly life. We can't be godly people without God. And just like we read a while ago, the only way to get to God is through surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. We are not capable of being godly without it. You know, I told you before, I bought that Bible and I read it and I read it and I read it and I knew what it said, but none of the spiritual stuff made sense to me. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, you are capable of taking on the characteristics of Christ, and then you can do those things. I told you last week that we would talk more this week about growing in our personal relationship with Jesus, but in order to talk about that, I wanted to cover those things, because in order to become more like Jesus, you have to be surrendered to Jesus, because we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The only thing we have to rely on without him is our sin nature, and we can't be Christ-like without the Spirit of Christ. So that is, we are going to talk about growing in our personal relationship with Jesus, but that is the first step in a closer relationship with him, is being surrendered to him, making him our Lord and being obedient to him and getting out from under the control of our sin nature. Without doing that, you know, we can't receive the Holy Spirit. And you won't be able to do those things you have to do in order to follow him. Or to grow in your relationship with him. Or to grow in any other relationship. Any relationship that we enter into, we have to be willing to change. And it's in our nature. We want everybody else to change to fit us. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to change to be more like Jesus, and we can't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to do that, and the only way we get the Holy Spirit is by surrendering to Christ. And once we do that, then we can grow in our relationship with Christ. But like I said, any relationship you enter into, there has to be change, and on our own, we just can't make the changes that God asked us to make without the Holy Spirit. Like the things we just read there in Colossians 3 and verse 12. the tender-hearted mercy and the kindness and the humility and the gentleness and the patience, all those things are fruits of the Holy Spirit. We don't have those without it. And we sure weren't born with forgiveness for others, like it talks about in verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So if God's calling us to do these things, we have to have the Holy Spirit in us in order to do them. You know, we were born with our natural desire to fight back. We weren't born with the ability to forgive. We have that natural desire to fight back or to get even when somebody does us wrong. We have to have the Holy Spirit to make those kind of changes to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And just like we can't live a godly life without God in our life, we can't grow in our relationship with Jesus without doing it with Him. Not just for Him, we have to do it with Him. A great example of that is marriage. You know, you don't get to know your husband or your wife just by reading a book about them or listening to what other people say about them. You learn more about them by spending time with them, by doing everyday things with them, by doing life with them, you know, going through hard times together. That's how we learn more about each other. Relationships, you know, they're not built by just learning somebody's name or a quick handshake on Sunday morning. That's just an introduction. You know, that just tells me who you are. That don't tell me anything about you. I don't learn anything about you just by knowing your name. And relationships, they're not even built in having fun together. You know, you can go to Dollywood and meet 10,000 people in a day and have fun with them, but you still don't know any of them. We learn the true nature of one another by going through trials together, by going through hard times together, suffering together. That's how we know what somebody is really like. When things aren't going well, we know whether or not they're going to stick with us. We know if they're going to turn their back and leave us when we need them the most. And that's how we get to see God's true nature, when He goes through our trials with us. You know, we read all the time in Hebrews 13:5, it says, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always with us. And that is His true nature. But we're not going to know that until we go through hard times with Him. So in order to grow in our relationship with Christ, we have to go through those things with Him. And a relationship is built on devotion to somebody. Unconditional devotion. Like I just said, it can't be based on whether we have fun with that person. It can't be based on whether they have something to offer us. It has to be unconditional. You know, we read last week that God is so devoted to us. He loves us so much, He didn't ask anything from us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We read that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. That's not on my scriptures for today, but that's where it comes from if you want to look that up. So we didn't do anything to earn God's kindness or His love, but He's that devoted to us. He didn't ask us to change anything. He just loves us unconditionally. So when we go into a relationship like that, we have to choose that no matter what you do, if we're going to love like Christ, we're still going to love you no matter what you do to me. And I'm not saying if you're in an abusive relationship, you should stay in it. I'm not saying that at all. If you're in an abusive relationship, you do need to get out of it. But it does mean that you still need to love that person and you still need to pray for that person. You don't stop loving them and praying for them just because they did something horrible to you. They don't make it right what they did, but we can't take it upon ourselves to be their judge. And we'll get into that a little more, but that's not an easy thing to do. You know, I've had a lot of people do me horribly wrong, and I didn't do too good with it to start with because I wasn't surrendered to Christ at the time. But after I was surrendered to Christ and I understood that I was still supposed to love them, I was still supposed to pray for them, That's not easy to do. And that's something that we can't do without the Holy Spirit. You won't even think about doing that without the Holy Spirit. But that's one of the things that God asked us to do. Like we just read there in verse 13, it says to forgive one another. I tell you all the time that we're God's ambassadors, and God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We share that quite a bit. And I'll share those verses with you again. We've been reading these almost every week for, I'd say, over a month now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, it says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." And here's the important part of that. He tells us how to do that ministry of reconciliation. No longer counting people's sins against them. That is really hard to do, but that's what God calls us to do. And it says, "And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." So if we want to be more like Christ, if we want to grow in our relationship with him, we have to learn how to love people. We have to learn to love people. Like I said a minute ago, that don't come naturally for us, especially when somebody's doing us wrong. And people don't make it easy for us. You know, people are going to lie to you. They're going to manipulate you, steal from you, cut you off in traffic. They'll abandon you when you need them the most. The ones that you love the most, that's usually the ones that do it to you. And it really is impossible to love people when they do you that way without Jesus. And that's why we have to do it not just for him, but with him. And when I say with him, I mean after you surrender to him and you receive his Holy Spirit, he says, "It will be with you always, and it'll never leave you." You know, I said people are, they don't make it easy for you, and they don't. I was reading just this morning in Proverbs, and these verses are a good example of the generation that we live in now. And in Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14, I think this is the generation we live in now. It says, "There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." I want to talk about that verse for just a second. It says they're pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're pure in their own eyes because everything that they're doing, society says, is okay. You know, it's okay to treat other people bad. As long as you come out on top, it don't matter how you treat other people. This world is designed completely upside down and opposite of the way God tells us to live and tells us to treat other people. So they can do you wrong and not even feel bad about it because it's so socially acceptable. That's why we can't depend on society. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. They don't know God yet. Okay, we'll go on. "There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." People are hard to deal with. They don't have any pity on the poor. They don't care about anybody but themselves. And that's the way this world is geared to make people like that. But Jesus says that that's one of the greatest commandments, is to love those people. You know, they'll never come to Christ if we don't show them the love of Christ. You know, that's what drew me to Christ. I wanted to know that God loved me. And I never would have came to Christ if somebody didn't show me the love of Christ first. But that's not a suggestion. Jesus says it is a commandment. And we can see him saying that in Mark 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, it says, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He was pretty much asking Jesus, which is the most important commandment? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So if we're going to grow in our relationship with Jesus, we have to learn how to love people. And that is hard to do. And we'll never learn how to do that by ourselves. And you're probably going to hate this part of my sermon, because I hated it too when I first came to Christ. But it is the truth. And I believe this is where a lot of people get stuck, and they don't grow in their relationship with Christ. You have to be around people in order to learn how to love people. But you just have to be around the right people. And that was the last thing I wanted to hear when I came to Christ, because I was the king of isolation. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted everybody to leave me alone. Let me go in my house, shut the doors. I don't want to spend time with you. I really did not like people. People really got on my nerves. And I'm sorry if you are a people and that offends you, but that's the way I was before I came to Christ. I didn't want to be around anybody. And I avoided people any way I could. And I think a lot of us, or probably even most of us, are that way. We want to say, I love Jesus and I'm a Christian. But if we're honest, we got people in our lives, you know, I can't stand that guy. I love God. I want to follow Jesus. Go Jesus. But I got nothing for that guy. And we go the other way when we see him coming. I did. I remember doing that to one guy in particular. And the thought of sharing the gospel with him was the furthest thing from my mind. You know, that was out of the question. You know, we pick and choose who is worthy of our friendship. And in doing that, we pick and choose who is worthy of hearing the gospel. You know, we read last week in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's not up to us who can be saved or who's worthy or who's unworthy. We're all unworthy before we come to Christ. It says, whosoever comes to him shall be saved. So if we're picking and choosing, we're picking who is worthy and who's not worthy to hear the gospel. And when we go on to verse 14, it says, we are the ones that are supposed to tell them the gospel. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I told you before, if you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you are a preacher. Your whole life is a ministry. You know, there's people around you every day that don't know Jesus, and we're supposed to be witnesses. We're supposed to share Jesus. We're supposed to tell them. And we're not going to tell them if we can't stand them. So if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, we have to learn how to love people. So, you know, like I said, I remember that one guy, and I would avoid him. And I was like, why would I want to tell them about Jesus? You know, I don't want them coming to my church. I can't stand that guy. And that's just not a godly mindset at all. James warns us about that mindset. In the book of James chapter 3, verses 8 and 10, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. Like I said a minute ago, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. And then we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, we just read a while ago in 1 John 4:8, and we read it last week too, that he that can't love don't know God. So if we're calling ourselves a Christian, but we won't share the gospel with somebody because we can't stand them, then that says we don't even know God yet. We haven't fully surrendered to Christ. So the best way we can grow in our relationship with Jesus is to learn how to love other people. And like I've been saying, it's not easy, and you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it on your own. You have to be around other believers. That's why I said a while ago, we have to be around the right people. We need to get around people who are truly surrendered to Jesus and are following Jesus, who are already where we want to be. We have to get around people that have already figured out how to love people that are unlovable and learn from them. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So we need to get into a community of believers that do love people and who are already Christ-minded. You know, we can't learn how to be godly, like I said a minute ago, from society. Society teaches us how to hate each other. It's all gossip and slander and trying to make each other look bad. There is almost absolutely nothing godly about society. But there can be everything godly about community. You just have to choose which community you want to be a part of. And Paul was trying to describe this to the church in Corinth, and we can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's trying to tell them, the verses before this is where he was telling them, you know, we need to come apart and be separate if we're going to live for God. But he didn't mean not have anything to do with people, and that's what he's trying to explain to them here. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you need go out of the world. He's telling them, you can't get away from simple people. To do that, you'd have to go completely out of the entire world. There are going to be evil people in the world. There are going to be people that are just out for themselves. But we have to learn how to love them anyway. If we go on in verse 11, it says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. What he's saying is you don't have to live like them even though you're around them. We're supposed to be examples for Jesus. We're supposed to love them like Jesus. You know, we can't just avoid people and hope the best for them. We have to be around them to witness them, but we don't have to be in that community. We can still be in a good community, even though we're around ungodly people a lot of the times. We can be in a community of hate and go with the way of the world, or we can be in a community of love and surround ourselves with other believers and learn how to love difficult people. James kind of describes those two communities that I'm talking about. And it don't mean where you live. It means how we live. Back to James chapter 3 in verses 13 through 18. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. We're going to be surrounded by people like that, people with an evil mindset, but we don't have to be in community with those people. these in this verse are the people we need to be in community with. It says, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that's like I was talking about. You know, we can't pick and choose who we're going to witness to. He says without partiality and without hypocrisy. The hypocrisy being we can't very well call ourselves Christians and then deny somebody the gospel. If we're Christians, the gospel is, like we read a while ago, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So we have to be willing to share the gospel even with the people that are difficult. And in verse 18, it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we have to be peaceable and sow the seeds of Jesus. And like I said, the book, like we just read in James there, we can choose which community we live in. And like I said, it's not where you live, it's how you live and who you surround yourself with. We can live the world's way, or we can obey the truth and live God's way. And it's a whole lot easier to live the world's way. You know, it's easy to be negative. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to do those things. But that's not what God has called us to do. You know, I said a while ago, you can't read a book about your husband and your wife and you get to know them. And that's the same way about community. You know, we can't read a book about basketball if you want to learn how to play basketball. You might learn the rules and the regulations, but they don't do you really any good. You still won't know how to play basketball. All you'll know is the rules and the regulations. You can read all day. But until you apply those things and you join a team and you actually play and practice with people who've been playing basketball for a while, you're not going to learn how to play basketball. It works the same way with learning how to love difficult people. We have to get on a team with people that already know how to do that. And we learn from them while we're playing and practicing with them, so to speak. And, you know, in basketball, it's called a team. But in Christianity, it's called the body of Christ. And in basketball, it's called coaching. But in Christianity, it's called discipleship. You know, that's what it's called when we learn from somebody who's been following Jesus longer than we have. It don't make them any more godly than we are, but they already know the way. They already know what works, what does not work, and we learn from them. That's what that iron sharpening iron means. I might know how to do something that you haven't been through yet. Or you may have been through something that I haven't been through yet. We learn from each other as we go. And we talked last week about all those foreign kings that we were talking about a while ago. You know how they would talk to Daniel. And I just can't get that out of my head. They'd be like, your God, Daniel, has your God spared you from the lions? Your God, your God. And they never did wind up getting a God of their own. You know, I said last week that they were on the outside of Daniel's faith looking in, and they were just amazed at the God of Daniel. But they never humbled themselves and surrendered to God themselves. So they never made him their God. They never had a personal God. And that's what we need. We need my God, not your God. He has to become personal to you. And that's what we do. We talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, but we can't do that if we don't join the team. We have to devote ourselves, like I was talking a while ago. We have to devote ourselves like we're being married to Jesus, because that's what we are. It sounds backwards, I know it does, but the only way to have a personal relationship with Jesus is to die to yourself and become part of the body of Christ. Part of the bride of Christ. And that sounds like you're becoming part of a big conglomerate or a big thing where you won't have individuality. But that's a lie from Satan, like we read to start with. The only way you will have a personal relationship with Jesus is to join the body of Christ and become part of the bride of Christ. Paul talks about that. If you read chapter 11 in Romans, pretty much the whole chapter is talking about how we were away from God and we weren't God's people, but God grafted us in. You know, he calls us Gentiles, but it says through faith we are grafted in. And it's talking about us right here in verse 17. It says, if some of the branches be broken off, he's talking about the Jews, and you being a wild olive tree, talking about us, the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So we weren't even God's people. We weren't even Jews. But God adopts us as sons and daughters, and he grafts us in to the family of God, into the vine. We talked about this just about a month and a half ago in John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's why I was saying all the way through up till now that we can't do it on our own. But if we will surrender to Jesus and let him graft us into the vine, and we abide in the vine, then we have Jesus. If you go on to verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if we're grafted into the vine and we're connected to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit is in the vine, as long as we're connected to the vine, then we can do all the things that God is calling us to do. Then we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. But without him on our own, he says we can do nothing. So the only way we'll ever grow in our relationship with Jesus is to do it his way. But if we're unwilling to die to ourselves and let him be Lord of our lives, then we'll never grow in Christ. We can't grow in Christ under our own authority. We can't do it on our own. That goes back to the question we've been asking for almost 2 months now. You know, do you want to be made whole? And that question that he asked that man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 and verse 6, will you be made whole? Or do you want to be made whole? And like I said a minute ago, I know that sounds backwards, but the only way we'll ever have a personal relationship with Jesus or grow in our relationship with Jesus is to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him and do it his way. And Jesus said that himself too in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever, and there's that word again, we can't pick and choose. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So if we won't surrender our lives to Christ, then we're never going to grow spiritually. We will wind up losing our life in the end. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So as long as we're holding on to our old life, we'll never be able to grow or mature in a new one. And if you can't get past your past, if you can't forgive your enemies, if you're struggling with that, you know, don't beat yourself up over that. None of us can do that without Christ. You know, we just read just a second ago in John 15, 5, without him, we can do nothing. We have to get grafted into the vine. We have to be part of the body of Christ. We have to be in that community. We just have to be willing to give up our rights to get even and our rights to judge and surrender those things to Christ. Then, through the Holy Spirit, we can pray for our enemies and we can forgive. And we can grow in our relationship with Jesus. You know, without him, we can't pray for our enemies. And we won't pray for our enemies. It's just not in us without Jesus. But through the Holy Spirit's power, we can see that the only difference between them, between our enemies and ourselves, is that we have Jesus and they don't have him yet. And God showed me that in my own life. There is no difference in the people, the guy that you can't stand, and you. The only difference is now I have Jesus and he didn't have him yet. And I'm glad to say that he does have Jesus now and he is no longer my enemy. So that is the only difference between us and the people we consider enemies. And like we said earlier, God didn't change in the Garden of Eden. He is still the same God. He will always be the same God. We can read in Hebrews 13 in verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus never changes. And through the Holy Spirit, we can see our enemy isn't people. It's the sin nature. And they're just cursed and deceived, just like Adam and Eve were, just like we were before we came to Christ. And they were born with that sin nature. And when we pray for them, when we make intercession on their behalf, that they would surrender to Christ too, when they do that, then they're not our enemies anymore. They're our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. It said he's our mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. We couldn't get to God on our own. Jesus stood in the gap for us, and that's what he's calling us to do, is to love people, not love their sin, but just love the person and pray for them, that they would come to Christ too. And they'll have the same God and the same Savior that we have. And we'll be part of the same body, connected to the same vine. And that's how we defeat our enemies. And I believe that that is the first step in growing your relationship with Christ. You know, we can't overcome our enemies on our own, because like we read in James, our wisdom isn't from God. It's from the world. It's flawed. Like we started out, our idea of all that stuff, our wisdom is perverted until we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not pure. It's still worldly and it's evil. But if we will surrender these things to God, he'll take care of all those things for us. That's where that trust, that's where that faith comes in again. And that's most people's problem. We don't want to give up our right to get even. We don't want to give up our right to judge other people. We feel justified in the feelings that we have. But we can't fight evil with evil. That's just like pouring gas on a fire. It'll never get better and we'll never reconcile anything. We have to give control of those things to God or we'll never grow. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. These are some of my favorite verses, and I had to use these quite a bit when I first came to Christ because I had some pretty big chips on my shoulder. I wasn't willing to forgive anybody. I was going to get even with you if it killed me. So I had to read these over and over to myself. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So we have to give it to God and trust him, have faith in him, that he will get revenge for us and he will repay the evil. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we can fight evil with evil all day long, but that's never going to reconcile anything, and you're not even going to destroy your enemy. What's going to happen is you will be overcome of evil. Because it says in Proverbs, if you roll a stone up a hill to let it roll back on somebody else, it's going to roll back over you. So we can't fight evil with evil. We have to overcome evil with good. So the best way to grow in our relationship with Jesus, the first step is to surrender our lives to Him and truly be obedient to Him. And the best way to do that is to get in community with other believers, because that's something that we really can't figure out on our own. We got to get around somebody and get on the team of people that have already gotten there and are already living it, and we learn from them and grow while we're hanging out in community with them. We have to become part of the body of Christ, and we have to commit ourselves to being a part of His church and be devoted to it, like we said earlier, and do everyday life together and learn from one another. We can't figure it out on our own. And that was a big problem for me when I first came to Christ, because like I said, I didn't want to be around other people. I just wanted to be made right with God and leave me alone. But you can't do it on your own. You've got to have a community of believers that are further along than you to learn from, to grow with. That's how we learn more about Him. That's how we learn more about each other. And that's how we become more like Christ. That's how we grow in our relationship with Him, by helping each other and serving each other like He says, and loving one another the way He says. That's the commandment He gave His disciples. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another the same way that I love you. So if you're struggling with that, the best way to learn how to love people that are hard to love, you have to surrender to Christ first, because you'll never do it without the Holy Spirit. And once you do that, you need to get devoted to being in community with other believers that are further along than you are, and learn from them, watch them, how they react in bad situations. And it's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's easy, because it's not. But it is something that we can learn through the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we have to be devoted to, because if you're not totally devoted to it, when it gets hard to do, you'll just turn your back on it and go right back where you started. And you won't grow, and you won't move any further with your relationship with Christ than you are now. So we have to be willing to learn. And when we do learn, we have to be willing to put those changes in action and make the changes in ourselves to be obedient to Christ and to truly love one another the way that we're supposed to. But that's all I've got for this week. I really hope that helps somebody. If you're stuck like I was, my biggest problem, like I said, was people. And now I love people. I look forward to being around my church family and the body of Christ. I look forward to getting involved in the things that are going on at church. I look forward to helping people. I look forward to doing all these things. You know, we'll never learn how to be godly if we're dependent on the world to teach us godly things, because there's absolutely nothing the world has to offer that is godly. So that's all I've got for tonight. And I really do pray that that helps somebody. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank You for the amazing love that You have for all of us, Lord, that You did die for us while we were still sinners. And Lord, I pray that You help us to see that that's what we have to do too. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to truly seek You to help us with that, and to truly surrender all the feelings that we have, Lord, of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of wanting to get even with people. I pray that You help us to surrender those to You. And like Your word says, Lord, to trust You, that You will get vengeance for us and You will repay. And Lord, I just pray that You'd give us the courage to go out and be the light that You've called us to be the witnesses that we're supposed to be, and to show the love of Christ that we're supposed to show. Lord, we love You and we thank You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.